Our next guest on the show is the author of a number of books about baseball, including his latest, The Amazing Baseball Adventure. We're happy to welcome to the program Josh Pahagian. Josh, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
My pleasure, Rich. Thanks for having me.
And I have to say right up front, you are a genius. There's no question about it, because you found a way to travel the country, go to baseball stadiums, and turn it into wonderful books. And my gosh, that's a pretty good deal. Where did you come up with this idea originally when you wrote your first baseball book?
Well, I was back at, it was 2002, I was at Emerson College, working my way toward a Master's of Fine Arts degree in creative writing, and people kept telling me that it would be sort of a useless degree in the creative arts, and as graduation was nearing, I started to think they might be right, and I had a pile of student loan debts that I'd have to start paying off soon, and one of my grad school buddies, Kevin O'Connell, and I came up with the idea to blow off our responsibilities and just go see all the big league parks in that summer after we graduated, and we actually found a publisher to pay our way. And we just wanted to finance our trip around the big leagues. We never imagined that it would spin into a career. The book did really well. That book was called The Ultimate Baseball Road Trip, and the next thing we knew, we were in USA Today and on ESPN, and I just sort of fell into a niche as a baseball travel writer.
Well, and I guess it's a sign of how time has passed and how you've grown as well, because the inspiration for this newest book, very different, and it involves watching a long, long game at Hadlock Field in Portland, and it was your son who didn't want to leave.
That's right. He was 4 years old at the time. It was 2015. It was a July night, and we were watching our sixth or seventh Sea Dogs game of the year. And he was intent on seeing the lighthouse rise from behind the center field fence, which, of course, it only does when the Sea Dogs hit a home run or when they win a game. And in six or seven games, that had not yet happened. And he kind of remembered it from when he was 3 years old, the season before, but he kind of didn't. And he just kept refusing to leave the ballpark. And before I knew it, it was midnight, and I was starting to feel like a derelict parent with my four-year-old out well past his bedtime. But he wanted to see that lighthouse, and it made me reflect on the fact that across the country, all the ballparks have been to Major League and Minor League through the years. Each park seems to have something that distinguishes it from the rest, gives it some special character, often tying it to its local city and local culture. And I decided to write a book through colorful pictures and hopefully lively writing that introduces fans to those special sites that makes the parks really stand out.
Absolutely. And you know what I was struck by in reading the book, Josh, is that, you know, so much of America these days, you travel from town to town and they look the same because you get the same chain restaurants and the same businesses. And in many ways, it is in these ballparks that we see the character of those communities.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think you're on to something about sort of the homogenization of our country, from strip mall to strip mall to Starbucks to Chick-fil-A. You know, you kind of do see the same places. But at the ballparks, they find special ways to really remind you of where you are. When you're down in Nashville, Tennessee, the scoreboard above the right field wall is shaped like a giant guitar. You couldn't see that anywhere else but in Music City. It wouldn't fit anywhere else. When you're in Montgomery, Alabama, they actually serve a biscuit at the ballpark because the team name is the Montgomery Biscuits. Where else can you have a biscuit while you're sitting in the ballpark seats yelling, butter up instead of batter up? I like that these towns sort of are brought to life through their park.
And so many wonderful sights and sounds and smells and tastes that you describe on this great baseball adventure in the new book. And some funny ones along the way, too, including a bit of an ode to The Simpsons if you go out to New Mexico.
That's right, out in Albuquerque. And, of course, there was a famous episode, Dancing Homer, and then there was another one, Hungry Hungry Homer, yep, in which the beloved Springfield Isotopes were rumored to be moving, and they were rumored to be moving to Albuquerque, which was actually without a team at the time. The Albuquerque City had lost its former team, the Albuquerque Dukes. So lo and behold, after the episode ran, it was very, very popular. The city was awarded a Pacific Coast League relocated franchise. And they put a contest before fans, name the team contest. And one of the names in the in the running was inspired by The Simpsons, the Isotopes. And sure enough, that's what fans chose. And one thing led to another, and the general manager, John Traub, was out in L.A. a couple years after the team was founded, and he saw in an antique shop in Los Angeles a Homer Simpson statue from when the Simpsons movie was being promoted. So he bought that, and then he acquired a Marge statue and a Bart statue and a Lisa statue. And those are like the favorite aspects of the park. Kids go in and tourists from far away, and they pose beside a life-size Homer and watch the game. It's really a neat thing.
We're talking to Josh Pahagian, author of The Amazing Baseball Adventure. Did you have one of these attractions that was unique to a ballpark that was perhaps your favorite along the way?
Yeah, I mean, they're all sort of special to me in their own way. I guess I like the sites that are people. Like some of the attractions are actual human beings, like John Adams, the drummer in Cleveland. If you've watched a Red Sox-Indians game,
even
on the TV, or an Indians playoff game, you can hear that drum. And he's been banging that drum since 1973 when he was a 21-year-old man. And his whole lifetime, you know, he's been showing up. Who holds the record for most games played in Indians history? It's the guy banging the drum, 3,500-plus games. And he's thrown out first pitches in World Series games, and he's been played in movie series, major leagues. So you know, he's one individual who really stands out. There's another guy down in Reading, Pennsylvania, Reading Fighting Phils, which is one of the rivals of our home state Sea Dogs. And there's a guy called the Crazy Hot Dog Vendor, who is just an insane lunatic, who rides around the field on a fake ostrich, throwing hot dogs into the crowd, and the fans just go wild. So, you know, when you run into those people that really make the game stand out in special ways, I think it adds a lot.
I have to ask a really hard-hitting question here from your journey and your adventures. What's better in person, the sausage race in Milwaukee or the racing presidents in Washington?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I guess I'll go with the cased meat over the distinguished gentleman. But, you know, they're both hilarious. And the Milwaukee sausage racers started it all, of course. And now we do have the presidents. We have racing pierogies in Pittsburgh. We even have a race at Hadlock Field where the Sea Dogs play. They do a main race, which features different agricultural products from the state, like the blueberry, the pine tree, the lobster, and the potato race across the field. So, yeah, kind of neat that Milwaukee has sort of added to a lot of parks' game day presentation by dreaming up that innovation.
And as you say in the book, you'll always have a special place in your heart for Hadlock Field. And you also give a lot of credit to Slugger, who you think might be the hardest working mascot in the game.
Yeah, I've seen the joy he brings to my kids' faces. I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old now, and that's what gets me through 9 innings. You know, otherwise they'd be racing and go home after 4 or 5 innings. But they keep on the lookout for Slugger, and when he comes near our section, they jump up and pose with him and talk to him, and he really has just unending patience. And he's pretty funny, too. He, you know, for the adults, he jumps up on the dugout and does some kind of crazy things. So I definitely have a fond spot in my heart for Slugger, for sure.
Well, as a parent of a young guy, I've got a 3-year-old at home, and I haven't taken him to his first baseball game yet. But reading, first of all, obviously you're a great parent by exposing your kids to baseball. But the fact that that they're able to focus on what's going on and pay attention and not want to leave just to see that lighthouse, that's a tribute, I think, to your parenting, obviously.
But also to
you know, the experience that we get, particularly in these minor league ballparks. One of the things I love about Hadlock is it's so family friendly, and there's never, even if the game is dull, there's never a dull moment there.
Yeah, it's kind of nice in the minor leagues that the focus isn't so much on winning. You know, it's just enjoying the ballpark atmosphere and watching a game that we all enjoy, and it sort of takes the pressure off. You're not spending what equates to a mortgage payment on tickets and parking and food like it is a lot of times if you drive down to Fenway or one of the other big league parks. Parking's easy, and everyone's friendly and in a good mood. And yeah, there's a lot going on. Those in-between inning contests that you don't see at the major leagues, those are really something that the kids get into.
Well, it's a wonderful book, a terrific writing, fantastic pictures, and it makes me just want to load up the family truckster and go this summer. The book is The Amazing Baseball Adventure. Josh, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon, and continued success to you.
My pleasure. Play ball. It's almost opening day.
Thank goodness. We need
it. Optimist.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Take care.
That is it. Josh Behagian here on Downtown. The Amazing Baseball Adventure. It is such a fun read. And if you need something to get you out of that cabin fever, break the winter doldrums. Pick it up. It is available everywhere. Absolutely terrific stuff.